Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio is evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can and currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. Sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Light of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Facing Your Fears radio talk show. As you know, where the amazing host is none other than Dr. Chapman. But before we do anything, as we always do, we are going to pray. We're going to bring Evangelist Perkins in to open us up in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for allowing our eyes to open to a brand new day, for allowing us to be on the radio program this evening, dear God, to be able to thank you for the blessing, dear God, for the training and the teaching of your word, that we are able to help someone along the way. Thank you so much, dear God, for everything you've done for us, everything you're going to do for us. And dear God, we pray that this show will help somebody this day, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Yes, yes. God bless you, Evangelist Perkins. You are tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show, where the amazing, awesome host and visionary is none other than Dr. Norma Chapman. We thank God for Dr. Chapman today, who is standing by. She is listening in, having a few symptoms today. And listeners, we want you to join myself and Evangelist Perkins as we lift up his radio talk show in prayer, as well as Ukraine and all other places in the world that need prayer, for we must pray. God bless you this evening. I want you to remember, as we go into this amazing topic, that we want you to be a part of sharing and discussing this topic today. So don't forget to press that number one so you can come in. Today we have a great topic for you. We are talking today, discussing how to fight back and stand your ground when enough is just enough. Many people face challenges and obstacles every day when it comes to being what? Treated unfairly. I'm sure some of you today on the line can speak to what it feels like to be treated unfairly, to be misused, to be misunderstood. And misunderstandings, we know, lead to stress and anxiety. We should realize that life is too short to put ourselves through unnecessary stress when dealing with people that causes us to have such uncomfortableness in our life. So this afternoon, as we go into this topic, we want you to join us as we share on this topic what it means, understanding what it really means to have to face those type of challenges and those obstacles when you are being mistreated and when you are being torn down instead of built up. Stress is a number one killer. You can be in great health, but if you are up under unnecessary stress for any of the reasons that we have shared here today in this topic, you will find your body will not begin to respond well. Your mind won't think so well. You'll find yourself up under stress, not able to focus, not able to go forth in the things that you need to do effectively. So today, as we discuss this topic, you got to realize when to fight back. There are times when we are to be quiet. The Word of God lets us know that in James 1 and 19. But there are times when we have to speak. There are times that we have to say something. If you see something, say something. If you know something, say something that'll make a difference. The scripture says in James 1 and 19, it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, also slow to anger. Even though you may be misunderstood, they may be doing things to you that they shouldn't be doing, but you got to be wise in the situation, know when to speak. Every situation don't require a response from you. In the case where you're trying to prove something that you know is already true, you don't have to try to make nobody believe the truth when you know it's the truth. You don't even have to give them a response. Sometimes people are looking for an audience so they could blow things further out of proportion, so they can make something that's so small, a little small something, into a huge mountain when it's not that big, blowing it out of proportion, treating people unfairly. Many times in the world today, people are very clear on what they're doing to you. There are times when you are, as the scriptures say, you are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. But understand, there are times when you need to speak, but there is a way to speak. You don't have to speak in anger and saying all kind of bad words and bringing up such a raging and a horrific argument, but there is a way. Many a times when we deal with things, the best way is to pull people out of their comfort zone. When an issue arises, pull them out of the audience. Many times when you talk to people in the presence of an audience, then they'll either blow it even up the more or try to draw attention to themselves. But when you pull them out of that audience, excuse me, can I speak to you for a moment? Listen, I really didn't like how you spoke to me. Now, I wouldn't speak to you like that. And if I've done anything to you, I apologize. But let's not treat each other like that. Sometimes you got to pull people out of the audience, because if you speak to them in the presence of their audience, then sometimes they want to get loud. Sometimes they want to expand things or make things something that is not. So a lot of times I find just pulling them out of that audience gives you the opportunity to downsize the problem and work the problem better out in a better way. I'm going to yield to Evangelist Perkins, who is in the studio with me today, and we're going to go back and forth. But what we want our listeners to do, as we remind you, you are listening and you are tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show. We want you to press that number one. I'm sure that there is somebody out here today that's connected on the line with us today that have experienced, have dealt with these very issues that we're speaking of today. And we're talking about realizing when to fight back, when to step up, and when to do nothing but just be still and know. Because God got us. And no matter the weapon that's formed, we got to know it's not going to prosper. If something is coming against you and you know you're not guilty of it, you know you haven't done what you're being accused of, listen, you don't have to prove anything. It's already proven that you have not done it. It's already proven that you're not guilty. You don't have to go and disgrace yourself, belittle yourself, you know, try to tear somebody else down. You don't have to do that. The one thing I find out about the truth, regardless of how fast a lie runs, the truth will catch it. Believe me when I tell you, the truth shall prevail. There is no way, no how you can keep the truth silent. I don't care how fast the lie run, the truth will catch it. I don't care if it's walking like a turtle, the truth is going to catch it. I'm going to pause here and yield to Evangelist Perkins.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Realizing when to fight back, and I've learned how to defend myself. There was a time once that I read St. Luke 9:23, and it said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And I got a lot out of that one verse, that all of the trouble that I was carrying on my shoulder all the times that I was concerned about what somebody said or how they hurt my feelings, that I did not have to deal with that. So I took up my cross daily, and I decided to follow Christ. And I denied myself. I turned everything over to him. And it, to this day, it really do not bother me, because I prayed and I fasted about it, because you can't change the way other people feel. They have to change themselves. And I do not want to get in any trouble with the Lord because of others, but because I've come too far by faith to let anyone turn me around. And so, and I realized that the suffering that I was doing it for Christ. And I felt like if I suffer and that he was not down here for people to see, but that the things I go through and the way I'm talked to and the way I'm treated and handled, if I don't deny myself and turn everything over to him, I didn't want anything to separate me from him. So that's when I act like I'm a child of God in every situation. And I try to be a light before others. Even when they hurt my feelings, I just stand there, I pray about it, or I answer them in the way that God would want me to answer them. But I always humble myself, for I know under the mighty hands of God that he will exalt me in due time. So what I do, I cast all my cares on him, and every day of my life, I ask him, please do not let me take my eyes off of you. Do not let me be hurt because of others, and if I am hurt, just let me show them love. And that's the way that I do. And I found out on your job could be worse than the people that you deal with. It gets painful on my job. But when I do speak, I say something about how good God is. And to this day, I try not to worry about nothing, because I don't want to pick my life back up when I done turned it over to God. I don't want to pick it back up, because if I pick it back up, I'm going to mess it up. And I've learned to whichever way happened to me or what's going on, then God knew about it. And I just pray to him to continue to give me the strength, to continue to give me the faith, to hold out favor to the end. I often pray to him just about every day to let me be like that city that sits on the hill, that no matter what I go through, that somebody can see him in me and glorify him. So I just realized, you know, that the way to defend myself is to show Jesus in me, to show anyone that I love you, no matter how you talk to me, no matter how you treat me, because I'm looking unto the hills from whence my help coming from. I know all of my help come from the Lord, and I know he is always there, and I don't want to worry about me. I'd rather he worry about me, that he take care of me, than me to worry about myself. So I just want to be a light, and I want to learn how I can do better every day. I just want to do better. Because I know if I suffer for righteous sake, then I'm going to be happy. And he done already said, you know, we shouldn't be afraid of them. And he don't want us to be troubled. He wants us to be happy, live our lives, and let him take care of us. So I found it is better if I let God handle me. And if I suffer, it's for well-doing. than for evil doing. So I pray for those, and I say something concerning the Christ to those that cause me pain and cause me to suffer, but I find joy in it. I get happy about it because I believe God is pleased with me. And at the end of the day, I always tell him, whether I sin or because I don't know what I've done, I don't miss a day saying, Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned against thee. I may not know what it is, but I say that to him because I don't want to lay down and rest at night, don't know whether I'm going to wake up in the morning and have not told him that. I feel good about my life. I don't worry about my life. And I will continue to be strong in the faith with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Back over to the coast, the host.
Amen, amen. God bless you, Evangelist. So beautiful sharing. I know that there are some listeners out there. You are still tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show. We have our host that's sitting back listening in, but we want to know if you have something that you want to say. Go right ahead and press that number one on your phone so that you can come in and share on this topic, when to fight back and when to defend yourself. It is okay to sit and be quiet, but there comes a time when you need to say, time when you need to speak up. The word of God said in Luke 10 and 19, he said, in other words, wait a minute, listen, let me make something clear, and I'm just bringing this to Moderna. Listen, I gave you power, and I gave you authority. I didn't give you that power nor that authority just to sit there as if you're not to use it. I didn't make you a doormat or a floor mat. You don't have to be mistreated or just trampled on by anyone. One of the things we have to understand is that meekness and humility is by no means weakness. The more people do to you, if you're in a place where you're literally being bullied and people are saying things and doing things to you that they should not be doing, then that may be a very spot where it's time now for you to speak up. It's time now for you to say something. It's time now for you to deal with some things. Because one thing about life, the more you allow people to talk to you any kind of way and say any kind of thing to you, and you don't say nothing, listen, they're going to keep on doing it. God did not have us to where we are. No, we know how to respond. There's a right way and a wrong way. We understand, even in the word of God in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, it lets us know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. My weapon is prayer, but my weapon also is in a kind manner, in a respectful way, in a decent way, in an orderly way to let you know what I am going to accept and what I'm not going to accept. I'm not going to accept you continue to disrespect me, speak down to me, treat me like I'm nothing when the word of God has already told me who I am. I don't have to prove that to you, nor do I have to be validated by you or any other person. And this is what we have to learn as human beings. God has already validated us. He's already made us and created us in his own image. He's already made us righteous through him. Some people's whole life is distracted because of other people feeling that they have the right to tear them down. They have the right to discredit them. They have the right to tell them who they are. No, God has already told us who we are. He said we are fearfully and marvelously made. There are people out here that think that you're to be cloned by them, and if you don't do what they say do, if you don't do it the way they want you to do, this happens a lot on jobs. It happens a lot even in the house of God. Sad to say, but this is real life, and it's true. It happens in the house of God, where a place that you're supposed to go and be built up and encouraged, you have more mess there because somebody's trying to be like you. Somebody want to sing like you. Somebody want to pray like you. Somebody want to act like you to be the original that God has created them to be. There are no two people on this earth in this world that live the same.
different fingerprints, different handprints. So God has made us in his own image. We're different. Know when, praise God, to defend yourself. Don't accept it as it's all right for people to do you any kind of way. No, it's not. And there's a right way and a wrong way to deal with it. God bless you. We're going to turn it over to the host.
All right, all right. I have been pressing that number one. I have asked the co-host to let me in on my last 4 digits of my number, and I just had to come in this way without her announcing me. I am one of the guests today that have a question for our host and co-host on today. My question to you is, just look at when the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, and Peter was standing by, and out of anger and upset that Jesus was being arrested, Peter picked up the sword and cut the soldier's ear off. Now, Jesus knew it was going to happen because he's God, right? But he also knew that he could put the ear back on the soldier. So let's put ourselves in that position today. And let us look at if we're standing in a situation where our children, a husband, or ourselves are in a situation like where Peter was in. How would you defend yourself? And I'm asking this question to Evangelist Perkins, and I'm asking it to Apostle Smith. How would you encourage our listeners on today if they're in that type of situation, even if they're in the situation where someone come up and slap them? I know we defend our, I heard everything Evangelist Perkins said, everything that our co-host said, but if a Christian, a woman and man of God are put in that situation, you as an apostle first, the Apostle Smith, I need you to answer the question, and then I need Evangelist Perkins to tell me how she would answer the situation. Remember now, one of your family members are getting ready, they're in danger, they're about to get hurt, or you feel in your heart that you would be helping them, and how would you handle it? Would you handle it what Peter did? Or what would be your answer to that question? Apostle Smith first, and then we'll hear from Evangelist Perkins on that question. Go ahead, Apostle.
Amen. God bless you. First of all, we have to realize as men and women of God, we represent him. Praise the Lord. He gives us a way of doing everything. If we listen to him, if we seek him, a lot of times we allow, he said, there's nothing wrong with getting angry. But the problem is when you get angry and you sin, that's where the problem comes in. Nothing wrong with getting angry. But the issue is when you get to the point where you get so angry, it takes you to the next step. Then you're stepping out of order. That similar situation has happened to me, praise God. But what I realized when I walked in the heat of that situation taking place where an issue was really on the verge of getting way out of hand, where the issue was really on the verge of somebody being hurt or something happening that I knew when it was over, somebody was going to be real sorry or somebody was going to wind up in some trouble they didn't have to be in. So praise God, when I arrived to the place, I was like, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Because we cannot represent you like this. No matter what's going on, we have to do it decent and we have to do it in order. Because you are God of decency and you are God of order. We have to do what Jesus would do. And what I did, I began to share the situation with them, and one listened, one didn't want to listen. One was trying to receive and calm down. One was giving even more anger and more frustrated. So what I did in the situation, because now I see other people coming, and I was made aware that somebody that was coming had decided to bring a weapon. So I backed back into the place where I was, and I contacted the police, the people who have the authority to deal with this, because I'm not going to call for help after you don't come and shot 3 or 4 people. No, I'm not going to do that. So God blessed it where when the police showed up, everybody that was there to do what they had planned to do that was wrong, they did not want to listen.
were able to leave. So what did that render? Nobody got hurt. Nobody got put in jail. And everybody was able to go home. And then the little issue that did take place, the next coming, they were there to repent for it. And it wound up being healed down the road. So we got to do it decent and in order, what I would say.
All right, Vandis Perkins, very, very short. Not a long answer for me because it's getting late in the show, and I do want you all to finish your presentation. I do have another question, but if you answer the question, try to answer it short. My question again, if you were in the situation with that Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus were about to be arrested, what would you do if you were in that situation today with one of your loved ones being faced in a dangerous situation, in a situation where him and her can get hurt, or even yourself, you know, or had to defend yourself, if someone was about to hurt you or your life was in danger, what would you do, Evangelist Perkins?
Okay. I haven't been in a position with the family, but I have been slapped in the church with my pastor preaching. I went into the bathroom. I come out, and this lady, she slapped me and knocked me all the way in the foyer. To this day, I don't know why, but I do believe that the devil didn't want to hear the sermon to go on. And I did not, all I said to her, I've come too far by faith to let even your hands turn me around. That's what I told her. And I told her, I still love you, and I'm a child of God. You can't take it from me. You in the hands of the Lord. That's what I told her. A month later, that same hand that she slapped me with, she had surgery on it twice. And I had nothing to do with it because I did not wish no harm to her because I did not know why she slapped me.
Yes.
And she slapped me in the front of a preacher that's pastoring two churches now. And he told me, he said, you done good.
Amen, amen. Well, I
because just like I say, you know, I don't belong to me no more.
Right, but Evangelist Perkins, let me say this to you. God bless you for your testimony. And I think that you are a true woman of God, and you didn't draw your weapon or didn't raise your hand to hit the lady back. But I asked that question because important to know, to realize when to fight back and learn how to defend yourself. We heard from our Apostle Doris. We heard from Evangelist Perkins. But is everybody walking in that calling like that? We may have some listeners out there that are true men and women of God. But for somebody to just slap you down to the ground and you get up, you don't do anything about it, or don't say anything about it. But that's why God gave me this topic. Realizing when to fight back. Now, I'm not talking about fighting back with no weapon. I'm not talking about fighting back person. I'm not talking about fighting back. But I'm going to be honest with my listeners on today. I don't think I let nobody slap me and knock me down. And
I was
going to
ask you that question.
Wait for their hands to be have surgery on. I am a minister, yes. But God is still working on me in that way. And we must learn to be a child of God, like what Evangelist Perkins is talking about. But we have to be honest with ourselves. We know us.
Amen.
God knows. And the main thing is not getting ourselves in two situations like that. But from my understanding, she was caught by surprise. Things could happen in life. Things, we can be caught in situations. What's so important is to be Christ-like, the way that Evangelist Perkins of. And I don't know how many others was on the line today that would actually testify to them not, doing or saying anything. But the main important thing is that we must learn how to defend ourselves. when she was slapped down to the ground. She could have been slapped down. Her head could have hit one of the benches there in the church, and it could have killed her. Or it could have damaged her brain, you know, but God. And I'll say it again, but God kept her from being seriously hurt. So learning how to defend yourself. Basically what I'm saying here, like Peter. Peter didn't know what to do. All he knew is that his Lord and Savior was getting ready to be arrested. And I think what angered him, from how I read the story, is when he found out that Judas, the one that ate with Jesus, walked with him, and sat with him, was the one that portrayed him with a kiss. You know, I think Peter just went off. You know, I mean, he just, you know, just look, they're about to arrest Jesus, and he know there's no good why the soldiers were there to arrest him. But what Jesus said, put down thy sword, Peter, for if you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. So what Jesus is telling us there, we cannot do everything that the world do. Talking to Evangelist Chapman as well, we have to think before we put ourselves into situations that can cause us to get killed, go to jail, or can make the situation much worse than what the situation is. So
that's
today's
right.
Lesson, bring us fight back. Realizing that God said, come from among them. He's not the author of no confusion. God do not
that's
want
right.
you to be a part of somebody or a part of any church or any family matters, anything that will cause confusion where you can get hurt or in the midst of being there, someone else can get hurt. So he said, be ye separated. Now, he even said not to love them, you know, and we can love from a distance. But if it causes confusion to where you have to constantly be fighting back, constantly be defending yourself, constantly being misused, constantly being misunderstood, constantly, and you're being, when you're talking, people are misunderstanding what you're saying, causes you stress and anxiety. It causes you to have to cry. Why my cousin and uncles and aunties, sisters and brothers, or why my best friend, or why my members of my church, or a member of my church, why they got to treat me like that? At some point, enough is enough. And we must learn how to realize when enough is enough and when we should fight back. And again, I'm not talking about fighting with no weapons. I'm not talking about cursing nobody out. I'm not talking about trying to get back with somebody, digging a ditch for somebody. None of that I'm talking about. Because if you've been listening and tuning in on the show today, the women of God has already explained in many ways that you can fight back in the body of Christ. Learning how to defend yourself. You can fight back with the word of God. When someone gives you, tell you something, instead of indulging in that conversation, you can use the word. The devil cannot stand the word of God. What the Bible tells us? Draw nearer to God. Resist Satan, and he will flee. Draw nearer to God, he will draw nearer to us. Resist Satan, and the devil will flee. So he cannot stand to hear the word of God. Just like God cannot stand to look upon sin because it stinks in his nostrils. The devil cannot stand to hear the word of God. And what Evangelist Perkins did, that hurted the devil more than anything when she did not retaliate. And I'm more than sure the person that did that, Evangelist Perkins, she may not never testify to it, but I'm more than sure God dealt with her. God dealt with her conscience. And sometimes we must learn how to leave it in the hands of the Lord. And when I say that God's still working, I mean, don't mean I'm walking around here with no weapons. Because I never carried weapons. I don't believe in guns and knives. But God have worked on me a lot with my mouth. And when he first called me into ministry, the first thing he did was cleaned up Evangelist Chapman's mouth. Because I had some words. I would say some words that would make you want to punch me dead in my mouth. But to God be the glory on today. When God call you and anoint you and appoint you, you're a changed person. You're a new creature in Christ. The things I used to say, I don't say no more. But am I still being hurt? Yes. Am I still being misused? Yes. Am I still being misunderstood? Yes. Sometimes misunderstanding comes about, and it causes me to stress. Because why? I want to get along with my family. I want to get along with the men and women in the body of Christ. I don't want, anxiety, God don't want us to be stressed out and can't rest. Because now when you're right, you can sleep. But you still want peace in the midst of confusion. So it causes us to stress if it's our children, our close relative, or if it's a friend we've been knowing for many years, and misunderstanding come in the way of that or confusion, you will be concerned about it. So we want to learn how to be concerned about it, but not let it stress us, not let it cause us anxiety, and know that God is in control, whatever situation it is. And like Evander Perkins said, God will show up and show out when it's time for him to do so. So when we put our trust in God and lean not to our own understanding, because the devil is always there whispering in our ear. I remember we was at a church. I'm going to give it back over to the co-host. They were showing it. I remember when I was going to a church, and during that time, they were breaking in cars. Everybody's car around the church was getting broken on Bible class night, and even on Sunday, they were breaking several cars. So the members had gotten to the point to where they started bringing weapons to church, saying that if they catch them breaking in their car, what they will do. This is what Satan will do. When we have to get to the point that we have to bring a weapon in the house of God, something is wrong. Ain't nobody going to let you know they're carrying a weapon. That's why we must be careful who face we run into. Don't be too quick to defend yourself. Slow to hear, quick to hear, and slow to speak. Because you run up on somebody and they have not yet been filled with God's precious Holy Ghost, you don't know what's going to come out of that situation. And I'm hoping I'm not confusing anyone, but what I'm saying to you is we don't have to tolerate foolishness. We don't have to tolerate being misunderstood, being treated unfairly all the time. Enough is enough. Enough, I had enough means that go your separate way. Be separated from that. God has somewhere else for you. When one door closes, God has a better one open for you. And if there's a lot of confusion around it, God is not there no way. God is nowhere in the midst of no confusion. He said, but come now, the word of God, and let us reason together, said the Lord. If you can't reason with someone, ain't no sense you're trying to talk to them. The more you're trying to talk, the more outrageous they're going to become. God bless you. Thank you, co-host, for your time. Thank my listeners for listening to me now. I'm going to turn go back over to the host for today, none other than Apostle Doris Smith. Thank you and Evangelist Perkins for the time that y'all given me to share my little bit of thoughts about today's topic.
Amen.
God bless you, co-host.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you so much. Dr. Chapman, amazing host, and also Evangelist Perkins. Praise God. This is such a great topic, when to fight back. We, first of all, as men and women of God, as believers, we got to first understand that our weapons are not carnal. What we fight back with is not the way the world fights. We don't fight back with knives and guns and all of these things, but we fight on our knees. We win our battles on our knees, understanding, first of all, that the battles are not ours. They belong to the Lord. And we have to first believe that and understand that what we do, we got to do it decent. We got to do it in order. We got to walk with discipline. Our lives have to be disciplined through the power of prayer and the word of God. I was sitting in a situation, praise God, in the house of God. Not like situation, but I was in a situation where argument broke out because somebody wants to exalt themselves. Somebody wants to put themselves on a pedestal, and then they want you to put them on one. Well, listen, my Bible tells me to put my confidence in God, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to love my brothers, respect my brothers, support my brothers, because he commanded me to do that. But listen, we have to realize, praise God, that we don't have to just sit there and be a part of confusion. So when I saw the confusion just getting to the point to where they were literally, there were a couple of them that literally,
outright curse in the church. And I'm like, oh, my God, what in the world is this? So I was like, listen, wait a minute, you guys. This is not of God. He's not the author of confusion. And when they didn't want to stop, I quietly packed my books, just like Dr. Chapman was saying, that is so true. I quietly closed my books. I will not be a part of what you all are doing because this does not represent the Lord. He's not the author of confusion, and I won't be a part of this confusion. And I removed myself from that atmosphere. Something worse took place. I was so glad that I used the wisdom to remove myself. So I didn't have to be a part of that. We have to know when to cease. We have to know when to be quiet. We have to know when to stand. And we have to know when to move out of the way. He is not the author of confusion. We must fight in the opposite spirit. We don't fight like the world. If somebody's coming at you in hate, you deal with them in love. If someone is bringing confusion, you bring peace to the battle. Think before you make a move. Think before you speak. When I was sitting in the midst of that issue that was going on where I felt in my spirit, the Lord let me feel in my spirit, thing is not taken care of. Quickly resolve here. Somebody's going to get hurt, killed, in jail, in prison. This thing is going to get chaotic. Well, why the Holy Spirit is dealing with me like that? You think I'm just going to stand there and do nothing? And try? No. Immediately I said, okay, if y'all not going to listen, we're trying to bring a calm here. And then you got people coming from outside of who's even involved, taking the thing and making it even worse. So I said, okay, we're going to bring in the law. God got a purpose for everything in this earth. He got a purpose for the law. He got a purpose for the firemen. He got a purpose for the lawyers, for the doctors, for the judge, for the jailhouse. You think he did not know what was going to be needed on this earth? He got a purpose. We got to know when to utilize the things that God has put here. He got a name for every situation. That situation wanted to get out of hand. I said, let me bring the people in that know. But I was praying for that as well. So immediately when they came, I began to explain to them what was going on. We were able to calm the situation, and everybody was able to go home. And later days, some repented, some were forgiven. They came, they hugged, they loved each other. That's what he don't want us to take things and make it worse. He wants us to resolve things in a way that pleases him. We got to think before we act. Think before we make a move. What weapon must we use to fight these spirits with? We must use prayer. We must use praise. We must use the word of God. We must use patience. We must use wisdom. We must use bending on our knees in the power of prayer, fighting in the opposite spirit. We don't fight like the world. We got to fight opposite to the world. What happens? When we fight opposite to the world, it neutralizes the enemy's attack. Look at David. David learned this when he tended those sheep. As he worshiped God with his heart, he could overcome that lion and the bear. So when he became the king, he did what? He established that tabernacle of David and appointed singers and these musicians to what? To praise. They did it. They praised the Lord 24/7. And what happened? It caused them to win every battle. They won with their praise. There are many examples through the power of the word of God in, that we could see how the battle was won that pleased God. We pray. Prayer is a weapon. Our praise is a weapon. We use the weapons in the world, run and get a gun, the world run and get a knife. And just like Evangelist Chapman said, Dr. Chapman said, when you got to bring a gun into the house of God, wow. When your brothers and sisters who the Lord say, I command you, I didn't tell you to like them. I command you to love them. These are your brothers and your sisters in the Lord. What is so bad that y'all can't talk about? What is so bad that she had to up her hand and slap Evangelist Perkins as opposed to saying, my sister, can I talk to you about something? There's something that's bothering me. Listen, we can agree to disagree, but when you take your hands and put your hands on somebody, you're out of order. You have lost control. You have gotten angry, but now you done sinned because you done took and harmed somebody else. And if that person becomes ill or seriously injured, then for the rest of your life, you could be legally held accountable to take care of that person. So I'm sorry does not fix everything. There are some things people are paying for still because that person or that family has suffered a permanent injury. So I'm sorry, it's not going to help that. Now you've tied yourself into something. Why? Because you act before you thought. You didn't think. You just act. We have to be, we don't want to have to, if we're proactive, then we don't have to react. In other words, if we think before we speak, if we just be calm in the midst of a fiery situation, don't keep adding coal on the fire, but you got to know your weapon is stronger and greater than any other weapon. You got the weapon of the word. You got the weapon of the power of prayer. You got the weapon of the power of your praise. That's our weapon. We don't fight like the world do. We don't go grab hot water and all kind of chemicals and plot and plan all kind of evil and sit and wait for people to walk outdoors and do all kind of. That's not godly. That does not represent who God is. So we got to know when to fight back. But what's most important, we got to know how to fight back when we're treated unfairly, when we're bullied, when we're misused, when we're misunderstood, when we're lied on. We got to know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but we have some mighty weapons. And now we know through the power of the word of God how to use these weapons. I want to yield just for a moment to see if there's somebody that's on the line that want to come in and chime in and have a comment. Is there someone on the line? I see our evangelist say we have a caller from area code 504. We want to go ahead and bring them in. Last numbers 9550. If that caller is there, we want to go ahead and bring you in. I understand we have a couple of callers here or a couple of questions.
Co-host.
Praise God. Also, I want to say quickly, Isaiah 54:17 is also a scripture that we should be reminded when life show up and when tests show up and situations and circumstances show up. He let us know that no weapon, there are many weapons that are formed against us, and we are tested. We are constantly tested. We're constantly tried. But we got to remember, when those tests are allowed to happen to us, it's not to destroy us, but it's to bring us forth as pure gold. It's to bring us forth to dumbfound the enemy. What he thought we were going to do, we didn't do. The way he thought we were going to act, we didn't act. So that's what God, that's what pleases the Lord. He didn't say the weapons wouldn't be formed. He said, yeah, they're going to be formed. He said, but what you got to know is that no weapon that's formed against you, when you're serving me in accordance to my word and trusting me by faith, because without faith it's impossible for you to please me. You cannot please me except you believe that I am who I say I am and that I'll do what I say I will do. Look, the one that's going to receive is the one that diligently seeks me. That's the one that's going to be rewarded. And see, your reward is coming when you stand. When you stand and they can see the characteristics of me in your life. When you're lied on, they could still see Jesus. When you're misunderstood, they could still see Jesus. When you're mistreated, they could still see Jesus. When your deceit is brought against you and activities are done towards you, when your brothers and sisters who should love you and be there with you and for you come against you, when they could still see Jesus. Doing that thing that pleases the Lord, doing that which sends off a sweet-smelling aroma, we're not going to know that except we have a relationship with the Lord, except we have a time set aside, not every other day, but every day where we rise, we pray, where we sit before the Lord and get some word. Before our head hit that pillow, we talk to the Lord or get a little bit more word. It's not how long you pray and how much word you read. It's how
how effective you are with whatever time you put in persistently, consistently every day. So God bless you all this evening. I want to bring back in Evangelist Perkins for her to share with us. We're also going to reach back out to our co-host before we close. We got like 10 minutes. Also, any listeners, we love you. Dr. Chapman, your host, loves you. You praise the Lord. Your co-host love you. Evangelist Perkins love you. We are teamed up here together to pull out on this line to be a blessing to the world, to help you to understand, do it Jesus' way. There is no other way. Jesus' way will bless you. The world may laugh at you, but look here. Jesus is going to put a crown on you for doing that which is pleasing to him. And who are we to please? We want to please Jesus. We want to make him happy with us. We want to send a sweet-smelling aroma in his nostril. We don't want to stink in his nostril. We don't want to pretend and say we something, and every time we make a move, our life show that we're something else. No, we don't want to talk this life. We want to live this life. It's time out for talking this life, to live this life. And yes, you're going to be tried, and yes, you're going to be tested. I have been tested. I have been tried in churches. I have been tried in other arenas, and I have learned to seal my lips and move on, because listen, what I do know, I serve a God that do things decent and in orderly. And I serve a God, praise God, that wants me to do the thing that's pleasing to him. He's not the author of confusion. And when you start confusion and you don't want to change it, I'm going to excuse myself. You'll be there by yourself with that confusion because it doesn't please God. And I won't be a part of anything that displeases God. And that's a stand we have to take as men and women of God, to not allow ourselves to be caught up and things when people don't want to change. Because they say you get angry. I understand you're angry, but you ain't got to go to the next level. But if you don't have this through the power of the word, you'll go there. So let us remember tonight, praise God, in this beautiful lesson, when to fight back, most importantly, how to fight. Our weapons are not like the world. But let me tell you from experience, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Evangelist Perkins.
Yes, and I would like to say that I really enjoyed this lesson, and I have learned much. I really have, and I tend to use what I've learned. But I would like to leave with you 1 Peter 16:17-19 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Back to you, host.
All
God
right,
bless you, Chatman.
I've been listening in, and as I said, I'm having a problem with my throat, but for giving me that topic for today is much needed, and let us remember that the devil stays in the household of faith. The devil stays around God's children. He knows how to provoke you. He knows what to have people to say to you. Because remember, we once was not saved, was not walking in the ways of righteousness. And when we were not walking in the ways of righteousness, I know I had a temper, you know. And as I said earlier, my mouth, you know, I would say some words out of my mouth, but I thank God that he has delivered me from it. But we must keep in mind that the devil come to rob, steal, and to destroy. He don't care who he uses. He uses your children, your husbands. He uses your family. He uses the body of Christ. He don't care. But we must be reminded of who we are. Walk worthy of our calling, worthy of his name, to say, to even call on his name. We must be worthy to call on his name and worthy of his suffering and shame. Now, Jesus, God, does not want us to be misused and abused, but he said in his word that we will overcome the world because he has overcome the world. Now, all that he went through, remember what he said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if we keep in Christ in our lives by the renewing of our mind, by presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, haters are going to keep hating. Those that's in love confusion going to keep dragging in confusion in our lives, but we must stand on the word of God, knowing that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, knowing that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Yeah, we have to cry sometimes, but remember the song, we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. We have to fight, although we have to cry, but we have to hold up the blood-stained banner. We must hold it up until we die. God do not want us to be cowards. God do not want us to be flow-mats. God do not want us to be kicked about or called all manner of evil, but it's going to happen. I mean, because if you read the word of God, the disciples, Jesus himself, God himself went through it. So who are we today? It said that it won't happen Amen. To us, but it's going to happen. Some of us, it has happened, and some of us, if it haven't happened, it could very well happen in the future. But I want to say to our listeners on today, I thank God for you. I thank God every Thursday when I look at the dashboard and I see my callers call in, and that lets me know that you're enjoying Facing Your Fears. And remember, listeners, you want to be a guest on Facing Your Fears. If God give you a word that you want to come forth, call me. You are welcome, welcome, welcome to be a special guest on Facing Your Fears. Just call me, and you will be booked to come into the studio as our special guest. And I always tell my good friend, our cousin Dolores McKenzie, out there in Houston, Texas, I thank God for she don't miss the show. Also, I want to thank my cousin in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, none other than Mrs. Ann Washington. They do not miss a show, and so many others. I don't like to call names because I don't know your name by your phone numbers, but I do know their phone numbers, and they do not miss a show. And I thank God for them. I thank God for Evangelist Perkins and Evangelist Perkins listeners. I do know that I realize that some of you call every week, every Thursday. I thank God for you. Women of God, men of God, you are welcome on Facing Your Fears. Remember, Martin Luther King, he did not teach or preach violence. They were knocked down. They were beaten, and not by the people, but by the what? Authority. Some of them had their head was busted. They went to jail all bloody, but he still taught and preached nonviolence. Let us remember that as we continue to walk through the new year and continue to too many of us need to understand that God got us. And it's getting late in the show. We only have 2 minutes. I'm going to turn it back over to the host for today, Apostle Doris Mitt out of Miami, Florida. God bless you and God keep you, Apostle. It's almost time for your closing prayer, sweetheart.
Amen, amen. God bless you. We just want to do a quick search for any of our listeners that may have pressed that number one with a quick response, but we don't see that, so we're going to go ahead. We are at 1 minute left, and we are going to close out this amazing, awesome show today. God bless all our listeners. God bless you, our amazing host, Dr. Chapman, and thank God for you, Evangelist Perkins, mighty woman of God. All of our listeners, blessings to you all in your household. We thank God for this topic today, when to fight back and how to defend ourselves. Lord God, we pray today in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that, oh God, through the power of your word, you have taught us, you have showed us, not just through the power of your word, but you are your word. You have shown us as the example that you are, perfect
in all your ways. You have shown us through what you suffered and how you went to that cross for us. You've shown us, and everything you went through, you've shown us how to fight back. You showed us how to defend ourselves, and it's all through the power of the Word of God. You let us know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but you let us know they're mighty through you to the pulling down of strongholds. God bless us and God keep us. Let us always shine to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This concludes
Amen.
Our show for today.
Amen.
God bless you, listeners.
Amen. Amen. It's the end of the show
Amen.
For today. God bless. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.